in the context of teaching, particularly if saying of, you know, mystical texts I've taught many times, right? I don't necessarily have, peak experiences. Although I would say even in the context of teaching, sometimes when you engage in discourse with students and they are experiencing the text for the first time, or they're getting excited about the text, that can almost be communicated to you. Meaning, or at least that I would say that's one factor. Another factor that I would add is that at least in the Chabad mystical tradition, there are many, meaning in addition to the standard practices of halachic Judaism, there are many exercises and tools used to induce emotional states. And I would say two major ones are contemplative prayer, meaning when you go into a trance or into contemplative zone for 90 minutes a day, right, that generally tends to facilitate feelings of connection, feelings of deeply connecting and feeling the ideas that you're engaging with. And then also another meditative technique used is chanting, meaning various songs known as nigunim, which are sung often in a group, can be used to facilitate peak experiences and feelings of connection and transcendence, as opposed to just intellectually processing the ideas. Okay, so one is that there are various sets of Chabad nigunim, of Chabad melodies, known as nigunei dvekut, melodies of union, melodies of cleaving. I could give you like some of the a track of a more intensive one. It's known as nigun Hashana and then nigun Arba Bavot, and then try singing that in the right context. With a group of other mystical practitioners, and that can induce just very, very intense altered states of consciousness. Another text I would recommend, a contemplative text, is a work by the third Chabad master known as Shoresh Mitzvot HaTfilah, and it offers a very detailed contemplative schema. And if one meditates a little bit and clears the mind, and then enters a clear state and begins working on the contemplative schema, that can lead to altered states of consciousness, feelings of unio mystica, and other such wonderful things.
Did you find those experiences translated to people who were not knowledgeable of the content of the hymns or the language?
So actually, yes. I would say this. Right, meaning, the heavy contemplative tools, which I'll post in the track in the chat in a minute, right? Meaning, meaning studying, I don't know, say 30 pages of a Hebrew text, and then understanding a certain spiritual and psychic map, and trying to enter that space, I think would be very challenging for somebody who's not immersed in that process. But let's say, for example, these nigunei dvekut, which I'll try and post in just a moment, right? I had an experience where I was a itinerant rabbi in Nepal, and we had a lot of Israelis who came to our pop up synagogue, and the Israelis themselves were either not currently religious, or were lapsed in their religion. And there was myself and a few other students of the Chabad Mystical School, and we did what's called a Seder Nigunim, basically a series of these contemplative hymns. And there was one woman there who was not religious, who just like went into this state of ecstasy, started crying, and just went, as we would say in Yiddish, Ares von Kalim. She like had like this really, really extreme experience. So yeah, meaning I've definitely seen. In the case of nigunei dvekut, of the nigunim, of the contemplative hymns, of the songs, that if you have a critical mass of people who are adept in the practice, then there are other people who say don't have that same experience, don't have that same, I guess, background, and the experience can still be induced for them.